You have your Bible with you. I encourage you to open to John chapter 3, verse 16 again. We looked at this last week as part of our message for Christmas. I want to pick up again here tonight before we launch into things we're going to share about the new year. John chapter 3, verse 16. I'm going to read the Message translation for you tonight. It's kind of what we ended up with last week. This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust Him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to Him. You know, last week we talked about Christmas and the reason for the season, as they say, the assignment that Jesus had. And so I want to just continue on with that thought a little bit, because as we're going into a new year, there's something about this passage about success or failure. You know, we're a success when we accept Christ and His life and His assignment, His really what He went to accomplish, the plan of God, comes into our life. Versus, as it says, the death sentence is already there for all those who have already said no to Christ or rejected Him. It says, a failure to believe. Well, I believe that we have the right to succeed when we believe. And unfortunately, when we fail to believe, we're setting ourselves up for failure. It'll end up coming up where we're not going to be able to fulfill what God's asked us to do. And I believe, as it says, that one-of-a-kind Son of God, when introduced to Him, number one reason you and I are still here on the earth today is to introduce people to Christ. Not baby Jesus, but the risen Savior. Amen? And so these verses are very specific. He had a very specific assignment, and we've already gone through that the last few weeks. He came to do what? Seek and to save the lost and so forth. That same assignment now has been, in a sense, delegated to us, His disciples. I don't believe Jesus failed the Father when He did His assignment. And I believe the church, when we do our part, when we take on that same assignment, that same responsibility to share with people and introduce them to Jesus, will be a success. And you know, people have asked us about the risk of starting a new church, so to speak, moving across the river, starting over, all that kind of stuff. Well, that's a big risk. You know, what are you going to do? You know, you're going to lose a lot of people when you move. I've actually had people say that to me. Well, you know, the statistics. And I said, well, I don't believe in those kind of statistics. Amen? I believe that, you know, people know what their family is. We're going to look at a verse in Acts chapter 4. It says they went to their own company. People know their own company. People know their own family. You know, I didn't show up at anybody else's family at Christmas. I didn't show up at your house and expect you to give me presents. I didn't go digging around under your tree and say, where's my presents? Huh? That would have been fun. Huh? Yeah, would have been a little weird. So, we come to our own family. We come together as a family. And we come together with a purpose and understanding that assignment that God gave us as a family. And even though to the disciples maybe initially it seemed like Jesus failed, you know, they kept looking around expecting Him to set up the kingdom of heaven here on earth at that time and restore the kingdom of David. They were expecting a lot of things, and instead He goes to the cross and dies, and they're all like, what's the deal? This isn't the way we thought it was going to work. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people looking at the body of Christ and the things of Christianity and thinking, well, what's going on? This isn't the way we thought it was supposed to work. That's all right. Just hide and watch and see, as they say. Jesus got other things working. Just because we can't figure it out doesn't mean it's not successful in His eyes. You know, again, I'll get into this more next week, but very simply, our definition of success and His definition of success are usually very different. And we'll go through those terminologies and those comparisons next week. But for tonight, I want to just be able to kind of wrap up the year and talk about where we're going for 2018. Because this is one of those times, Pastor Mary and I were sitting and talking this afternoon again about casting vision and being able to say, this is where we kind of draw the line and we launch out in the new direction. And so when we talk about vision, and it's His vision for the world, and we have to understand His vision is bigger than our individual vision, is it? You know, you and I are important to Him, but we're not as important to the whole as to Him as the whole world is. Now, yes, He will come to save one person, but He didn't come to save just one person. He came to save the whole world. He died for the sins of what? The whole world, we found out. So, thank God He came to liberate us and humanity and all the consequences of the bondage of sin and so forth. But His vision for this world is so much bigger than you and me. And I believe that you and I as a church here and a church family, we have a part of that vision. We have a very significant part. And let's not let a person's failure to believe, as this says, be something that we're guilty of. Let's believe in what God has called us to do. And I believe with all my heart that God gave us very specific direction to come here, to come into Mendota Heights. Why? Last summer when we were starting all this and God was directing, as I've said many times, I didn't understand why. It wasn't until we got here and we realized what a spiritual, you know, desolate place this is that I understand now why we're here. We've got a very specific assignment. You know, one of the things that I believe God has always told us to do is we have kind of a pioneering spirit. You know, we've helped pioneer our church, obviously. We helped pioneer another church. We've helped other ministers in that along those lines. There's just something about that. You know, there's glory in having thousands of people and having a big mega church. You know, if God ever wants to do that with us, boy, He's going to have to really change me. I don't have a vision for that right now. I just have a vision to fill this place up. Amen? I have a vision to be able to say standing room only, because that's prophetic words. Now, wherever we are, we got to be able to say standing room only. Well, we got still room in here to fill up. So let's start believing for that. That's where our faith is. That's where our vision is for this coming year. That's where we're going with this coming year again. We're not going to let go of those prophetic words. It has nothing to do with a location. It has nothing to do with a name. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with who we are as a family, as a church, as a body. And so when we look at those things, that vision, that success, or that failure, a lot of it has to depend on us. How are we going to respond to the things that God's given us, the assignment that God has given us, our part to play in all of it? You know, Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision, the people perish. That's a basic translation of it. Other more modern translations say, people cast off restraint instead of perish. Or they run wild, one says. Another one says, they go uncontrolled. They stumble all over themselves. They are unrestrained. You know, people just go crazy. You ever looked around at the world today? Do you think maybe that's what's going on? They don't have a vision of what God has for their life, so they're just running wild. They're going crazy. And sadly, I look around into the body of Christ, and because they don't have a vision of what God has for them individually or what God has for them as part of the church, part of the body of Christ, they're running wild. They're, as it says here, they're stumbling all over themselves. They're doing their own thing. They're running wild. They're off. They're cast off restraints. They're uncontrolled. They haven't submitted themselves to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God. So if we fail at His vision, if we fail at understanding His vision, we'll perish. And I don't believe we as a church ought to perish. I believe as long as we're casting vision, we're talking about where we're going. Now again, turn over to Habakkuk if you've got your Bible, because this is one of those passages that sometimes people can get confused about. But in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, very familiar passage for a lot of you. If there's a lack of vision, I think what will happen, we become a victim of not having the truth. not having vision, not having direction, and will perish. And what this says in Habakkuk, if you go through chapter 1, I don't have time to teach this, but there's some questions that God and the prophet are going back and forth about. I don't have time to teach that. In verse 1 here, then he says, okay, well, I'm going to stand on my watch. I'm going to set myself. I'm going to listen. He says, I'm searching for the things that God's going to say to me in verse 1. And he says, I'm going to listen, and I'm willing to be reproved. Some translations say corrected. I'm going to be instructed. It depends on what translation you're reading. But he's saying, I'm willing to seek your face and find out, God, what it is that you have for me. What's the vision? God, I've got these questions and I don't understand what's going on, but I'm willing to stand in my place. As Sean encouraged us and exhorted us earlier, get in line and don't leave your line. Stay in your lane, so to speak. Don't get out of line. He says, verse 2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Now, I had a note, because I've taught on vision a number of times over these 30-some years, and one of the things that always bothered me about this verse is that it starts out with, though it tarries, and it ends with, it will not tarry. That sounds kind of contradictory, doesn't it? So you have to kind of sort out the different, the language, the translation problems there. And this would be a better translation. If it seems slow in coming, be patient. It's on its way. It will surely take place. It will not be delayed. That's a better translation of it. Let me read that again. If it seems slow in coming, be patient. It's on its way. It will surely take place. It will not be delayed. I'm going to play off of Sean's exhortation, if I may. Not that long ago, earlier this last year, we were at Disney World with some of our family, and some of the lines you get in, you got to wait for a while. Some of those lines are a long wait. In fact, you walk up and it'll tell you what the estimated wait time is. And so you walk up and it'll say 90 minutes. You're going, I'll pass. I'm not going in that line. I'm going to go over here where it says 20 minutes. So I'm going to go on that ride, or I'm going to go through that thing. And so if you can plan that out, you kind of always take the easy way. Isn't that funny? You say, oh no, I'm going to go in the short line. I want the fast line. When you drive into Minneapolis, I want to make sure my wife was with me, because then we can carpool and I can get in the fast lane. Some of you are smiling at me. Don't drive in the fast lane if you're not a carpool. You're not allowed. Now, at Disney World, you get a thing called a fast pass. Those people going to Disney World, that's the trick. Set up your fast passes, because you can get right in. Don't wait when you can get ahead of everybody else. Isn't that kind of what it is? Well, I won't get ahead of everybody else. When it comes to things of God, though, there's just a place of peace and rest and not be moved by circumstances. You just have to enjoy the journey. You just have to chill out. We get all anxious and we get all worked up. Like, why hasn't this happened? Why don't we have standing room only already? Well, if every one of us, again, went out there and worked on and prayed for and dragged in 10 people, we'd be standing room only, wouldn't we? But see, we're busy in our life. We've got other things going on. We can't think of the 10 people that we would invite. And we're sure that all 11 of them would say no. That went over well. See, we have a responsibility. We have an assignment. We have to do what Jesus himself did. And did people walk away from Jesus when he said some hard things? Absolutely. He even said to his disciples, you guys are going to leave too? And finally someone said, we got no place else to go because we know you're the Son of God and you've got the answer. And so that's kind of where I'm at. I've been at that place in my life at times. Like, I don't understand what's going on. Sometimes I don't get it. As hard as we pray, as hard as we preach, as hard as we've done things, sometimes we haven't seen the changes. In fact, sometimes we feel like we've really had a breakthrough, and the next week, there's half as many people as was the week before. well, people are busy, they had this, they had that. I understand. So I'm walked by faith and not by sight. Vision is not by just what you see. Vision is based upon the Word of God that has been planted in your heart and what you believe that He has given you to see by faith. So when you read where it says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, it will not lie. Then look at verse 4. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. See, the proud man, he's not willing to wait. He wants the answer now. He wants to get in the head of the line. He's the guy that's going to try to get around everybody. But listen to the end of it. It says what? But the just, the righteous man, shall live by faith. Now that's an interesting place quote there, because it's quoted three more times in the New Testament. It's quoted once here about vision, about God giving you an answer about something. Again, in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews chapter 10:38. I could read all those, but I encourage you to look them up. In all three places, he's saying, the just shall live by what? Faith. Not by what they see, not by what they experience, but by the promises of God's Word. Regardless of what your life says, regardless of how your body feels, regardless of your checkbook, it's about what God's Word has promised us. That's reality more so than anything else that we live in this life. And that's a hard thing for our human nature, so to speak, to grab hold of sometimes. And yet, listen to the Amplified Version. The uncompromisingly righteous man, this is verse 4 in Habakkuk chapter 2, the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. So whenever you hear that verse in the New Testament, basically the real quote is what the Amplified is saying. Because it's not that you just live by faith. You also live by your faithfulness to what God has promised. There's something about acting out what you know is right and what you know is true. Psalm 119 verse 3 says this, the righteous, again speaking of the righteous man, they do not compromise with evil. They walk in all of his ways and follow his directions. Goes on in Proverbs 1:32. It talks about the fools are destroyed by their own complacency. We can't be complacent. You know, I thought of bringing along the prophetic word that was spoken when we were in a particular ministers' conference years and years ago about the spirit of complacency that has, in a sense, tried to set up residency over the Twin Cities and specifically over St. Paul and the suburbs. Mendota Heights is like a suburb of St. Paul. And that spirit of complacency is one of those strongholds that tries to get on the church, get on believers, because it's just easier I'm tired. It's easier just to rest. I'm resting in the Lord. Well, make sure you're not just being lazy in the Lord or complacent in the Lord. Because that can be a lousy excuse. Hello. And it's easy. It's because it's in the air, so to speak, you can almost breathe it in sometimes. And you don't even know you're doing it. It just gets on you. You know what I mean by that? It just kind of gets around you. And you have to fight it. You have to say no to it. There's something about that demonic spirit that would love to just keep everybody or just comfortable where we are. It's okay. But it's not. That's why he tells us to continue to press in and to go after things. So our job is to write the vision and make it plain so that he may run who reads it. Do you remember years ago, we quoted this when Jane Hillman was here, and she gave us a phrase that I'll never forget. She said, speak for the vision until the vision speaks for itself. So you keep declaring that vision, you keep speaking that vision until eventually that vision speaks for itself. You don't have to say it once it's real. You don't have to talk about once it's become a fact. You don't have to do it by faith anymore. Now it's a fact. But in the meantime, your words continue to speak that out. So as we look at the year to come, and we're just coming out of where God told us to leave our land, as he told Abraham, and we've gone through that whole process. We've come across the river. We've come into this area that I believe he has promised us to come to. And we're looking at this through new eyes with a fresh vision and some new direction. And so tonight, as we go into a new year, I thought that it would be appropriate, and Pastor Mary encouraged me to really just spend some time talking about the vision, where we're going to go. So I'm going to ask her to come up and join me. We're going to do a little tag team. I have her own microphone even. Come. Proverbs chapter 24 is this. Any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and is profitable, profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. So those things, wise planning, common sense, and keeping abreast of the facts, those are kind of things that we can all kind of get excited about if you're kind of a, you know, analytical person like me, a get-it-done person. Being built, being strong, and profiting, those are the benefits. That's what we have to look at. So there's a vision. There's something about that vision that God wants us to make sure we cast out there. Make sure your mic is on here. Is it up? There you go. So this success or failure, whether we look at it long-term or short-term, how are we judging it? How are we measuring success? How are we determining that? And for us, when we start looking at where we're going with the church, one of the first things we've talked about is a new name. And boy, there's been a lot of discussion about that. I better hold it back this way. We're experimenting with microphones, sorry. The new name for the church, I think we finally settled on it. Are you ready? Drum roll, please. Thank you. Now, we've thrown around a lot of names, but I kept coming back to the basic principles of Established Heart. And one of the things that we've always talked about is having a solid foundation. And that particular scripture that talks about a sure foundation, a new foundation, all those kind of things. Eventually, Pastor Brandon, we just kept kicking around. I thought, well, maybe we'll call it new foundation. This, you know, I kept going back to the word foundations or foundation. So we kind of have settled on, ready? You sure? Positive? Foundations Christian Fellowship, FCF. That's going to be it. So we're going to be talking to our lawyer this week and get things set up. And so basically, you know, the new trend is get down to one word church. So it's basically we'll call us Foundations. I've done searches. You do the Google thing and who's got names for this and what names for that and who's got churches. Found one church in Arizona, one found church in New Jersey. There's all different forms of it, but Foundations Christian Fellowship, I didn't really find too many out there like that. So, and there was none in Minnesota, so we're safe. Woo. Yes. Do you know how hard it is to find a church name these days? You know, you have to be really bizarre.
Thing is you don't want to read too much into the name either. That's one of the things that we talked with Doug Jones about is, what's the deal with names anyway? And he goes, what is it that he said to you? It's kind of like, you know.
He says it doesn't make a big difference anyways. He says, next time you move, who cares?
Yeah. As long as we don't call it something like Satan's Place or something like that, you know, we should be safe.
I've told you, a friend of mine, he oversees some of my bishop friends. He oversees a group of churches, and one of the churches they have out in Denver is called Scum of the Earth. That's the name of their church, Scum of the Earth.
They're a bunch of bikers. A
bunch of bikers and druggies, and they had a revival, and a bunch of them came out of a really bad place, and they just said, you know who we are? We're the Scum of the Earth. Okay, well, let's just name our church that. And so they did it kind of as a joke, but it just stuck because that's who they were, and that's who they drew. And he says, what's sad now, he says, they're going to probably have to change their name because now they're getting married, and they're having kids, and they're getting all cleaned up, and they're not Scum of the Earth anymore. So they're going to probably have to come up with a new name. So that's why I was really pushing for new foundation. And she goes, problem is, a year from now, we're not going to be new anymore. I said, well, yeah, we could be.
Thank you, Sean.
Then renewed foundation.
Well, the thing about foundations is I feel like foundations is just a twist on established.
Yes.
On being established. It's talking about your foundation too. So foundations, this is kind of a little bit of a, it's a little twist on an old name.
Yeah, don't.
Okay.
So, why don't you talk about that, because we were talking about the ministry calls.
One of the things that we've spent some time talking about is, you know, when we talked about moving over here and starting new and starting fresh, we don't want to just keep doing church as we've always done it, where, you know, Saturday night or Sunday morning, when we finally get to Sunday mornings again, that we just come together and we have some nice praise and worship and pastor preaches a good, great message and we have children's ministry and we do the normal things. And, you know, we want to do more than just have this be a ministry that's a teaching ministry. As important as that is because, you know, pastors, ministers are called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so because we're in this place here where there is a job to be done, I mean, the longer we're over here, the more I think we're going to see how much work there is to be done here. It's like breaking up fallow ground. And, you know, we've had that confirmed to us through some good, really good prophetic or some good scripture references that have been brought to our attention. And the thing is that this is where we want to see you guys get involved. Not just come to church and, oh, I'm going to serve in children's ministry tonight, or I'm going to be in the worship team tonight, or I'm going to greet tonight, or, you know, I'm going to stay after and I'm going to help clean up. But something that happens outside the four walls here, where we actually would love to hear from you ways that you feel we can reach this community. Things that we can employ as a church, and you guys taking some stewardship and ownership of it, to where, how, you know, I've got a great idea of something we could do to reach this community. And so often that falls on the leaders or the pastors of the church, and we just feel like this needs to be more of a body thing. And so we're going to look to you guys to help us come up with some ideas, some plans, some God things, anointed, inspired, Holy Ghost inspired ways of reaching this community. You know, there's a lot of things that we could be doing. I shared last week about what we did as a church for Christmas this year, and I had quite a few people comment to me afterwards about how blessed they were about it. But we actually partnered with another church in California, Steve and Dina Smeltzer, and we helped sponsor 14 homeless children for Christmas. And I'm telling you, it was just a joy to do that. That was really kind of my bright spot this Christmas. And we don't want to stop doing that. We don't want that just to be a Christmas thing. We want to be involved in the community. I don't know that Mendota Heights has a huge homeless population, but there's probably needs here that we could engage in and find out what they are and things that we could get involved in. You know, true religion is taking care of widows and orphans. It's helping people who are in dire need. And so there's things like that that we could be engaged in and involved in. But we're looking to you guys for some ideas. And because I know sometimes people think, well, I really think our church should be involved in this, but they never talk to us about it. Or they want us to run with it. I've got a great idea, Pastor. And then they want the pastor to run with it. But
I cast a vision. Yeah. It says that they may run who read it.
Right.
You're the runners.
Yeah.
I throw the ball, you run.
Yep.
Get it?
Yep. So, you know, every believer is a minister in some capacity. And so we're really, really looking to you guys to help us come up with some ideas of ways of reaching our community here. Now, we are in a brand new community. We have a brand new opportunity. We don't want to do church as we've always done it in the past. You know, we've even talked about the fact on Saturday nights or Sunday mornings when we get there, when we come together and given praise reports of the things that we're involved in and how we're reaching this community, how we're reaching. You know, one of the biggest parts of the vision for this new community is revival in the workplace. It's reaching people in the workplace. Now, right now, that we don't know how that's going to work right now because we don't have the use of this facility as if we had sole ownership of this place and we could use it, you know, all during the week. So we'd have to find other ways of doing that. But and that might be something down the road a little bit. But there are things that God can give us to do that we can begin to reach this community of people. And, you know, some people might balk at the fact when we say we feel like it's a spiritual wasteland here, but just what we've run into and the types of churches that are here, they're not gospel-preaching churches. They're, you know, social programs and things like that, and we believe there's a necessity for some social programs in a church. But, you know, the whole purpose behind that is to get people to open their hearts up to the gospel. And that's the greatest way to get people to open their hearts to the gospel, is to get them to see how good God is and that somebody actually cares about them. So we're looking for your ideas. I know you guys have got ideas. We've got some good people in this church that really have big hearts, and I really believe that we're going to come up with some God ways of reaching the community here, other than just preaching the word. Amen?
Amen.
We've got to get them in the doors, though, first. Amen?
Now, one of the things that I think we got excited about when we first were introduced and met Pastor Connie, who oversees this daycare center here, is that there's some great opportunities to partner with her. She has a big vision. She has a big vision for this building and for this facility. And one of the second or third times, I don't remember, we were here with her, we were just talking about using the foyer there for fellowship and what we would like to do and what she has a vision for. And right away, we just connected with her. She started talking about having a coffee bar out there and having high top tables and chairs for people to fellowship. And we'd start talking about, well, you know, they've got moms and dads coming in every day.
Yeah.
In the morning and the afternoon, picking up their kids, dropping off their kids. And there's no reason that at some point in the future, when we work with her, to be able to offer some kind of outreach, you know, they come in and out and just, do you have any needs for prayer today? You don't know what some of those parents are going through. You know, again, I don't know, of those 100 kids that are here, how many of them actually go to a church? This might be the first or most important Christian influence they have, because her daycare has a Christian orientation to it, thank God. But I don't know how many of those parents are actually connected to their own home church. But they need prayer. They need ministry too. And again, that's where I think we have an opportunity as a body to say, oh man, I don't know if I've got the time to do that. Okay, we're not asking everybody to give time. We're asking everybody to consider, how can God use you to help reach somebody else? Now again, the whole purpose of the 242 groups is what? To reach into a community where you are, whether it's St. Paul, whether it's Woodbury, whether it's Lakeville, whether it's Eagan. Eventually, I want to have one in South Minneapolis. I want to be able to get those other groups around so that eventually we have places where people can invite somebody into that empty chair. We've got our 242 group leaders and hosts specifically focused on doing what? Praying for that empty chair. Praying for someone to be invited to sit in that empty chair. Well, I want you to do the same thing here on Saturday. I want you to look around. There's some empty chairs here. So I want you to be thinking about, okay, who could we be inviting? Who could I start praying for, saying, Lord, open the eyes of their understanding, that they know they need to be a part of a body. They need to come and get equipped. They need to come and be encouraged. I mean, you know, Sean's not in here, so I'm going to boast about him. You know, sometimes people say, well, Sean doesn't sing that good. Why do you have him up here?
He sings just fine.
He sings better than I do.
Yeah.
And I used to lead worship. Thank God I've been delivered of that. And you've been delivered of it too. But Sean's an exhorter.
Yes.
He got up here, and what he says, that came from his heart. He didn't get up there and have notes and read that. He's prayed up. He comes and he lets God use him to speak as a mouthpiece, to encourage you and speak words of life that just take something and just bring it up another notch. Do you know how many churches don't have that? They just don't have it. So I'm encouraged. I'm blessed. And so many times when he gets up here and starts to do that, do you know what? It's right in line with what we're planning to teach, preach. That's the Holy Spirit. Well, nothing miraculous happened tonight. Are you kidding me? All kinds of stuff happens all the time. Just, we don't wave a flag and toot a horn every time it does. You know, we don't take a big post-it note and slap it on somebody and say, see? It's God. That's the way we do it. It's just sensitive and pick it up. So for us,
I'm not talking right
now. No, it's pointing at this. Can't you hear it? So we're having microphone issues. So for us, the 242 empty chair is a real key thing for the midweek. So even though we even had our own facility, which we thought we were going to do, you know, One of the things we were talking about today is, you know, so much of what I was getting in my vision as far as part of, I was shaping it around and trying to make it fit into the circumstances of the facilities and everything that we were looking at. That's a dangerous thing to do, because as soon as you start having a vision and then you try to make it fit the circumstances, it's kind of like people looking at the government and looking at circumstances and history saying, oh, this is the book of Revelation and this is how Jesus is going to come back. You got to be careful with that, because you can all of a sudden get off track. The vision can be very much a lot different when it comes to how it's worked up, as it says. If it seems slow in coming, be patient. It's on its way. It will surely take place. It will not be delayed. But you have to be, again, the just shall live by faith, and in our faithfulness to keep walking it out in the meantime. So, how we reach this community. Said it again. We want to become an oasis in the midst of a spiritual desert. How do we do that? Do we do that with the families here? Do we reach into the community? This next year, I've already been praying about, okay, you know, I was very involved with the Highland Business Association, things like that in Highland. I've already talked to Sean. I've talked to my son, who's on the Dakota County Chamber of Commerce. So I'm looking at, how do I get involved in this community? Because we're going to have to let people know we're here. So we'll start advertising with the new name. We'll get the new website set up. We'll get new flags out there. One of the things that was really interesting is getting a sign out there. We asked Pastor Connie about that, and she said her suggestion was to get one of these signs that you see on the side of the road that, you know, you roll out on a trailer and it's all lit up. And she said, well, you should just get one of those and roll it right out there on Highway 110. And I thought at first she was kind of joking, but she wasn't. So we are going to have to check into that. So we'll need someone who wants to find out about that, and whether, as all the legal issues we've had here and with restrictions and stuff, we're going to have to find out, first of all, if we can even do that with all the zoning issues and restrictions. I'll probably have Mr. Nick over there check into that stuff for us. And so we'll find out if we can get some kind of a sign that says service tonight, 7 o'clock, new, you know, Foundations Christian Fellowship, new church, come get your butt in here, you know, whatever. I won't say that. So the other thing we want to be able to do is start weekly prayer. One of the things I have to sit down with Pastor Kanye, and she's very difficult, she's a very busy person, I've not been able to get a hold of her the last couple of weeks during the holidays, but I'm purposing to get a hold of her this next couple of weeks. I would like to start having Monday night prayer here, if we can work that out and start having a weekly prayer like we used to have years ago when we had our other building and we had full access to it. You know, that's one of the things we lost when we sold the building. I know the 242 groups are part of that as prayer, but there's something about that corporate prayer time. God just always was speaking, giving us vision and giving us direction corporately. And so we're looking to do that on Monday nights if we can get that set up again. Be patient, because I know what happens if somebody says, oh, we're going to start having prayer on Monday night. I'm saying that's part of the vision. I'm casting vision for that. It may not happen until April, until we get permission to come in and do that. I don't know. I have to work those things out. But that's where we're casting vision, where we want to get to. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we're shooting for that, and we just need to head in that direction. Anything else?
Well, you know, all of the things we're talking about are just, they're vehicles. They're just vehicles for us to get the word into these people's lives. In the same way that at some point in time, God touched your life, He touched my life, He touched our lives with the word. We heard the word, something sparked in us. We heard something that we knew was life-changing. And we connected with it. That's really what we're talking about here. We're just talking about ways of getting people in the doors so we can help change people's lives. And the whole goal for that is not just to preach the message, but to help make people whole. You know, we live in a really broken society right now. Things are crazy. They're just crazy. And the thing that makes the difference in people's lives is when God comes to them through His word and makes a difference. And so all of the things we're talking about are just vehicles. They're just vehicles, ways of serving up the word to try to get the word into people's lives, to show them that God is still here. He cares about them. He wants to know them. He wants to have a relationship with them, that he's not what the world has so often presented him to be, that he cares about people. He wants to make a difference in their lives. So all of the things we're talking about are really ways of getting. How can we get the word into people? How can we get people here so they can hear that message of hope?
Yep. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Let's close with Acts chapter 4. Yeah, it doesn't fit in. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. The disciples had gone through a challenging time. They'd been arrested. They'd been let go. They went to their own company, it says, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Basically, they had been told to sit down and shut up. And pretty much the world and even some of the denominational traditional churches have basically told us who are preaching a full gospel message to sit down and shut up. I'm not going to sit down and I'm not going to shut up. If anything, I believe that God's given us even a stronger mandate now to come into this area and stir things up. So as it says, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? That's a quote out of the book of Psalms. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Basically, everybody was against him. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, now listen to what he says, that with all boldness they may speak thy word. He's basically asking that you and I would have the boldness to speak the word of God, the truth in every situation. And then it goes on in verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught things that they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Let's just pray. Father, I'm just so thankful for each and every person here tonight. And Father, I'm thankful for those that I know it's holiday weekend, couldn't be here.